Okay. The good vach. One chavav on the base, three lines up from the bottom. Before Baruch Yitzchak b'shem Rav Huna, well, Yamarom is palo umin mat bay of yado. You shouldn't stand and say shmona esrei, and you're holding a coin in your hand. Okay, you can't hold coins in your hand while you're davening. And now on chav zayin amud aleph. No. I mean, you're holding the simplest example is, I see this all the time. I see people davening Shmona Esrei, and they were late, so they're davening with the Shliach Tzibur. Meanwhile, they're going to be Machzik HaZeifrom. So when the guy comes around with a stucker box, he'll have the coin in his hand, a dollar in his hand. So while he's davening Shmona Esrei, he'll put the dollar in while he's davening. So I'm a racist in the first order. It's usur to daven with coins in your hand. The fun of usur, the Yishalmi adds a caveat over here, which is with Vakran Chav Zayin, I went off at the top of the page, which is adds a caveat that it's only if it's in front of him that the coin is, even if the coin is on the floor, okay. Well, I think that's what they say, right? Yeah, he says in the English, if the coin is not in his hand, if it's in front of him, he's still also to pray, right? Because right, the Tame Risha writes, look at the second line of Tame Risha, the fun of my mispalo might bail the fun of us or nation mistakobo vainly bumiyushav. You're busy looking at this money that you know that's in front of you on the table, on the floor, whatever it is, and it's distracting. Well, acharav mutter, if it's behind you, then it's okay. We're not worried you're going to turn around. This distinction between in front of him and behind him is not in the Bavli. It's not really mentioned. This part is not really mentioned. The ground part. If you look up in Shulchan Aruch. This business, let's see, this is Simon Sonic Vog. Just to redo. You think he'd be distracted? Well, that's why I'm telling you that you don't need to worry about that. Well, we learned about that already. Yeah. You're worried about that. That's a different thing. Yeah. Okay, so in Siman Tzadik Vav, it's a short Siman, there's only two Sifim. It says, Sheyimna kol terdos kadei sheichavim. You should take away all terdos, such as the noise in the background we're hearing here. So it says, I'm just going to read you the siman very quickly, because it's Mamash Nadia Halach Lamaisa. Kishu Mespala, lo yechaz miyari tfilin, lo sefer mikisvei hakodesh, veloi ka'ara malayo, you can't have a fruit cup or whatever, velo sakin umos, vekikram, and they shall leave alayim, shall leave lo vietrat, vizis batal kavanoso. So these things, it doesn't say anything. In other words, it doesn't say you can't hold anything in your hand. Like if you have a pen in your hand, it doesn't say you can't hold it. It says certain things which you are worried they're going to fall. Velulo bismano, what the lachas biyado, kivchachizo biyado he mitzvah in an itra b'shvila. So you can hold the loaf on sukkahs. Next, it says mutro lachos machzor tefilas biyado b'shoshem esbal hold the tefilas tzarik tefila atzma loytara dumi the loaf. Okay, so they say you can. That's why you can hold a sitter. So the Rambam adds, if the sitter was not on your hands when you started to daven, you shouldn't start looking around for a sitter after you started davening. So if you have your sitter open in front of you on the table, obviously you can reach over and pick it up even if you started davening. I do that all the time. Because the first three brachas are standard, I do that. My eyes closed and mechavin that way better for myself personally. And then I pick it up. If it's Shabbos, I'll look at it from there on forward. But for me to go after saying the first three tefillos, the brachas, to reach up and pull the sitter off the shelf, that's not proper. Okay? But notice it doesn't say anything about front of you on the floor, back of you on the floor. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah even has a case of it's from Sabeh Haitav. It says, if, let's suppose you have a sefer that dropped on the floor. So he says, if it's shter shadavni, so it says you can bend down and pick it up after you finish the bracha in which you find yourself. So if you're in the middle of a bracha, don't stop in the middle of the bracha to pick up the sefer. Finish the bracha. What's that? In your hand. Yeah, he says he has sefer mikisvei hakodesh. But in Mishnah Berurah and Gimel, he says, Hu ha-din kol svarim shalonu. He quotes that for Shane the Vilagon. I think he certainly says he should not be looking for them. And in fact, he says that he specifically speaks that out. If you were benching, you shouldn't have a sefer open, making like you're while you're benching, you're looking at a sefer. That's the ultimate RI. Anyway, so these are all things. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yossi Hayitzaron b'Taisim b'Yaday. He used to take coins and wrap them up in a bundle, let's say handkerchief, and tie the ends of the handkerchief together so they were all secure, right? And then he would daven. At the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Let me say this again. Okay, we're on the second line of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi used to tie them up and put them in a handkerchief and hold them in his hands. Lamidas Hadin. Now, this Lamidas Hadin means that we're talking about now Tilchas Tefillah, but Lamidas Hadin, if you're talking about Chayshin Mishpat Halacha, meaning this also has an application in Chayshin Mishpat, which we're going to say now, which I guess you have to speak it out. If I give you coins to watch, so then the proper way to watch coins is to tie them again in a handkerchief together and hold them. Not only that, you should hold them, you have to hold them in your hand. You can't tie them in a handkerchief and tie them to your fishing rod and hold your fishing rod over your back and walk down, or on your baseball bat and hold them behind your back. You can't, that's not considered proper shmir. It has to be in your hands. Rabbi Yitzchak, v'tzatak kesef v'yadcha, that the Pasuk says, v'tzatak kesef v'yadcha, v'ovad v'yadcha, it has to be in your hands. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, ha'ri l'Rav Hillel Chasdikin, he also, above and Pasuk for his son-in-law, Rav Hillel, the same halacha. This, the Yerushalmi has been doing that a lot. I've noticed that it'll quote a halacha, then it'll quote someone that told his Talmud or his son-in-law the same thing. It seems to be the darak for the Yerushalmi to do that. I've noticed this a lot. Rav Chizkiya and Rav Yaakov Baracha have Yosem Chad Asar. Okay, so Rav Chizkiya and Rav Yaakov are sitting in one place. So Chad Asar is one place. Yeah, outdoors, it says here. In a certain place. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha had some money with him, some prutas, he had some, whatever, all small coins. Also into the tzlusa. Now the time to David came. The Yav and Rabbi Chizkiya. So Rabbi Yaakov didn't want to hold the coins in his hand. He didn't want to tie them up in a pouch and hold them like was previously suggested. Rather, he figured, you know, I'll daven first. You hold my coins. Then when I'm finished davening, you'll give me the coins back and you'll daven. We'll take turns davening. That was his plan. Now, so again, Yavon Rav Chizkiya, he gave the coins to Rav Chizkiya. Kitar Porse Le Porse. Now Rav Chizkiya tied part of his belt to another part of it, forming a pouch. Ushrisan va'arak, with the knots loosened and the prutas fell out and were lost. That's the way, this is one way to learn the Gemara. There's another way to learn, we'll learn in a second. Amalei, so Rav Chizkiya was feeling very, you know, downtrodden. And Rav Yaakov saw that he wasn't feeling so good about losing his coins. So he said, what more could you do? You did what you could. You tried. It's not so terrible. Don't worry about it. Very shvara to learn. That's the shot this year shot. It's a very weak shot. I mean, you could see the weakness in the pshat. It doesn't fit in the words. I don't like this pshat at all. Okay, let's learn the variant. I like the variant much better. Here, Rabbi Yaakov originally had the prutas bundled in the cloth, but when the time came to daven, he shrison v'yavon Rabchiskiya, he gave them to Rabchiskiya. Okay, and no, they were wrapped. His intention. One second. I'm sorry. You're right. He unwrapped. You're right. He unwrapped them. So he would pray while Chizkiah held the coins, and Chizkiah would turn the coins, and then he would pray. Chizkiah did not follow Rabbi Yaakov's example. Instead, while Rabbi Yaakov was still praying, he bundled the coins in his kerchief, and he began to pray the way Rabbi Yaakov had previously said to bundle them in a kerchief. Now, Rabbi Yaakov finished davening first. What did he do? I love this. Katar porse le porse. He tied his handkerchief to Reb Chizkiah's handkerchief while Reb Chizkiah was davening. It's like when we were kids, we used to tie the talisim together and so much time, right? So it was Shris and Varak, and he pulled away from Reb Chizkiah, thereby untying the knot of Reb Chizkiah's handkerchief, and the coins were spilling all over. So he says to him when he finished davening, Mab Yacha, where are my coins? What are you left with? You didn't want to follow the advice? And this, look what happened. Anyway, his point was to demonstrate that even coins bundled up in a cloth, you must pay attention to them in order to properly safeguard them. And therefore, that's incompatible with praying. In other words, even if they're the Eitzah to bundle them in a handkerchief is not, still not enough, because you still have to focus on them, because you never know when some mischief guy is going to come along and untie your thing. Okay. Anyway, I don't know which way you like better. The second way I like better. Anyway, next. Amar Rav Chanina. Af mi yishra yimeimav al ksefa. This is also going to be in my vlog, is how to learn this, what this meimav is. These waters might be waters of paraduma. And the rule with paraduma waters, as you may know, is it's a Mishnah para. It becomes possible with hesach hadas. That means you have to have shmiro on the water from the time you draw the water to the time that you put the Eifer Parah into the water. During that time, if you have a Hesach Hadas, now what happens if you drew the water? There's a Parsha Shailah. I drew the water, and then comes time for Mincha. So can I daven Mincha while I'm holding the water? Or is the davening going to constitute a Hesach Hadas and going to disqualify the water? Oh, so it says, Rav Chanina said, okay, that's one way to learn the Gemara. Let's learn that way for now. He had the water on his shoulder. He could do Shema, he could say Tefillah. That's not considered a Hesach Hadas. What kind of pshat is that? What kind of psak is that? Don't they need Kavano? So therefore, it's for sure Hesach Hadas. No. That's not Hesach Hadas. I'm talking about Hesach Hadas from that's talking about Hesach Hadas from watching the waters. When you're focused on tefillah and davening and the tefillin, that's all part of the whole thing. That's all part of the outfit. Amar Rav Mana, Kash Yosei Kumei Rav Pinchas. He asked the question a little differently. But tefillah tamer kriyishma and industry can come on. Even if you're going to say kriyishma doesn't need so much cover, you only need like the first pasuk. Tefillah, and you have to come on it. Tefillah, you need the whole davening to have to come on. It's for sure going to be a Hesach Hadas. Amar Rav Yosi, Kiyamte. You know how to touch up the brisa in order to make the brisa work. Kai Damar Rav Yaakov Baracha B'Shem Rav Yochanan. Like he said, Higi Ufa, which means they force you to reach the conclusion. Sof Melechas Hamayim means that here in the brisa where it says you could daven, it's talking about when you already put in the Afar Parah into the water, and therefore Hesach Hadas would not disqualify it. So what's the finish? I don't know. This is, as you can see, there's some weakness here in this Mahalakh as well. Nothing is perfect. The word Higi Ucha doesn't seem to make any sense. What's Higi Ucha? Everything is difficult here. Some people are learning that this has nothing to do with paraduma water altogether. We're totally not talking about paraduma water. Okay. Let's see. Let's just finish the word the Gemara first. The Gemara says in 127b, She'ena mechuvarim dvar Torah, that the purification waters are not biblically to be clean, means diversion, free of diversion of attention once the work has been completed. So that's also a very difficult habit. She'ena mechuvarim dvar Torah. It's very, very hard. Let's see footnote one where it says over here. Yerchana means, although the Torah requires that it has to be safeguarded, it doesn't say after the ashes are put into it. So I guess the scriptural verse can be explained as speaking only of the period before the ashes. Accordingly, the questions you raised must be that it's not referring to afterwards. Okay, so I guess this would be where we learn that out from. Maybe I told you that halacha as if it was a given, a done deal. Maybe this is where we learn this out from, I guess. Let's see. It says the source of that pasuk is v'hoysel and mishmeres l'mei nidah, mishmeres, so this has to be guarded. Okay.
So you learn the whole thing of requiring the water to be tar from that.
From v'hoysel and mishmeres l'mei nidah? I mean, that's probably prior in pasuk. That's before. Yeah. That's before it's added. Okay. So let's look at variant A, in which case we're not talking about here, all the way at the end. Yet other commentaries take a fundamentally different approach. The Gemara is not discussing purification waters at all. It's talking about a person carrying ordinary water on his shoulder. So it means if you're an experienced water carrier, right? So for you, carrying water is second nature. So you're not distracted by the load. But he's somewhat distracted. And so therefore, he could, let's see, the basis for this permit. He's able to recite Shema and pray Shema, Esrei. He's going here that the requirement to say Kriya Shema and Shema Esrei is not Minat Torah, Ein Luchavon Dvar Torah. So the requirement of saying Kriya Shema and Tefillah is not Minat Torah, it's Minat Rabbanon. And therefore, the level of Kavona, I guess, is less. And it's
not. What do you do
with the Yeah. Sof Lecha Samayim would mean that he's an experienced water carrier.
Yeah. So Sof Lecha means he's done drawing water for the day?
No. No. No, he translated here. He's an experienced Sof Lecha Samayim, he says, is translating as experienced water carrier. That's how he's translating it. Anyway, so there are two different ways to learn the Gemara, whether it's talking about Paraduma water, whether it's talking about ordinary water, whatever it is, nobody knows for sure what these Yerushalmis really mean. That's part of the mystique of learning Yerushalmi.
Almost obligate. It just says Memo. How do you know it means pure? I would start out that it means regular water.
Right. And certainly, certainly that was the approach. Right. That's true. Okay, we're on Kav Zayin on the base at the top Mishnah. Chasam Pratim Kriya Shema Laila Harishin Ad Mitzvah Shabbos Lo Asa Maisa. As we know, Chasam is considered Oisuk Mitzvah. Pratim Ad Mitzvah. He brings down various pshatim over here as to why the chasen is torrid. So one of my favorites over here is that he's afraid he's going to come across shofar from the Bir Rishayna, and he's worried about his, whether he's going to be physically damaged or hurt during the Bir Rishayna. Others say, a little bit more probable, is that he's torrid, that he's not going to find that his wife is a psula. So he's torn over what he's going to find out, the library shrine. So these tirdas, that's the Rambam's shrine. So these tirdas are enough to make him potter from Kriya Shema. He's not able to concentrate. And how long does this take place? How long is he putter? In other words, it's if he doesn't necessarily have to have gotten together with her physically the first night, so it could have been delayed for whatever reason. So it's up until Laila Rishon on Motzei Shabbos. So that's when we see how many nights that is. Yes, that is the assumption. So it's going to be four nights altogether. In law, so Maisa, if he didn't do Maisa, be Maisa. But after that, so what happens after four nights? After four nights, he doesn't care anymore. He stops. He's already not sure exactly why. In other words, I guess he's become so infatuated with his new love that he doesn't really care if she's a psula or not. Is that the pshat? Well, yeah, what happens after Yom Ravi?
We can't say forever butter.
He's no longer tar. They say he's no longer tar after four nights. They speak this out. Do you see it? Here it says in the bottom of footnote three, after four nights have passed, the groom becomes more relaxed. Even if they have not yet cohabited, he is no longer preoccupied to the same degree. See if I read them. It says the same thing? Yeah. For some reason, when you relax, you don't worry about things. Okay. No, the Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema we're talking about.
I know. In the middle of Myra? If you doubt it.
He's not Myra.
So
maybe he wouldn't daven Myra altogether. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe he has to daven Shmona Esrei because it doesn't require that much kavana. But we've been saying all along here that tefillah requires even more kavana than Kriya Shema. That's why I assume that he's putter from both.
Also, nowadays it's a given that you daven Meir. In those days, did people daven Meir, or was it?
Well, you know, like the Gemara says, tefillah sarvus rishus, but that's only Taisa says only renegea that if you have another mitzvah to do, then what?
That would be a case.
And that would be a case if you have right. But if, as long as you don't have any other mitzvah, then it would not be rishus. Okay, let's go on. So Maisa Rami Gamliel should also have a card Laila Rishon. Rami Gamliel, even though it was the night of his marriage, he still read the Kriya Shema on the Talmid of the Manatir Rabbeinu Shchosim Pater. You taught us the Chosim Pater, so how come you're not behaving like what you taught us? And Lahem, he said, I'm not going to be Vatal Lecha Shemayim ever. And Tei Moshe, maybe we'll look at Tei Moshe. He says, Maisa Rami Gamliel, Kamash Lon. In Adam Godolhu, what talk about Asmai Shlokhul Eskavein, Roy Little as Hashem, it requires all of the above. You have to be Roy for that. Otherwise, it would be Gaiva to assume that you could, I can be Machavin, even though everybody else can't, but I can't because I'm great, right? That you couldn't do. But someone like Arigam Leo is an Adam Godol, so he can, it's Rishus for him to go ahead and do it. Okay. Rabbi Lozar, I'm going to take this, the shame Rabbi Lozar. So he said the following. So from the Mishnah, you can learn out that you see that since we're saying that you're part of Kriya Shema, so Motzei Shabbos, it's vice versa that the Bir Rishayna took place, could take place on Friday night. Otherwise, why would you be part of Kriya Shema Friday night? You should be Chayiv Friday night, right? So So you're saying that he'll be torrid, even though he can't be Isa Maisa, but maybe he's still torrid until he actually goes through with it. That's an interesting thing. Here he says if it will be forbidden for him to perform the act on Shabbos, he would not be distracted on that day. They're assuming that he would not be distracted. Okay.
Distracted about the speech he has to give.
Yeah. What exactly the problems are with having a Bir Rishayna? So making a chabura, which is, or it could be the, making a Pesach, or whatever, different reasons. It could be Markim HaPatish, it could be chabura, because there are different malachas which are possible here. Remember, Chai Guy called me Rabbi Yossi, Tifta Balmona. You know, I could be Dyke of the Riot. Maybe we're talking about Almona. An Almona who is not a Basula, right? There's no chabura, so maybe that's what we're talking about. Amalei, so what is he? So one second. So if you hold, if the Tirda was, the reason why you were part of Krishna was because you were Torah that she wasn't going to be a Basula. So why should you? Why should you be taught? Why should you be part of Kriya Shema altogether?
He's not for an Amal.
No, he's trying to fatash our Mishnah, no?
Following the case of Amal.
Yeah, but why is he preoccupied?
Oh, well, if he's an Amal, he shouldn't be preoccupied at all.
Right? Yeah, why would he be preoccupied? The Gemara is trying to answer, you know what? She's not a basula. So she's not a basula. That's why he can have the beer shine on Shabbos. But if he can, but if the reason why he was preoccupied was because she might not be a basula, well, that was one of the reasons the Rambam gave. So you have to say the favorite's a riot against the Rambam, right? That it's the other reason.
Mm-hmm.
But then making him a kris shofar is not tied to breaking the basula, which is what they said earlier. They said in the Mefarshim, they were explaining it. He said the reason why he's afraid he's going to come across Shofar is because he's in the act of breaking the psul and he'll hurt himself.
Right.
That's, again, doesn't seem to be a concern. This is a small difficulty. We'll look into that. So the Gemara says a different problem. Right? For another problem for this attempted teretz, we said four leilos, which means that the wedding night was Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and when it's a Shabbos, it's four nights, right? And by Almana, it's Lachem Yom HaBaleis, but Almana, there are no four nights, because the Almana's wedding takes place on Thursday. There's only three nights from the wedding, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, so must be, we're talking about a Basula.
Yeah, the
Gemara says it here. The Gemara says later on? Yeah. Menachem, giving share now. Giving share now, Menachem. Sorry, cannot speak to you. Okay. So he says, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi, Kashisi, Komi Rabbi Yossi. I asked the question in front of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, why did you have to learn it out from the deep from the Mishnah? As if, you know, without this Mishnah, I wouldn't have known that it's wanted to be boil beer Rishonah on Shabbos. Ma bein olavein shover asachav aslechem in menagregers. What's the difference between having beer Rishonah with a woman and breaking open a barrel to take out some figs, which you're allowed to do? A person can break open a cask in order to eat dried figs. Okay. They're exactly the same. I'm not going to say anything about this. What? Yeah. Amalei, Mordabasrei. Let's see, what does Mordabasrei means? The segment you just quoted, well, eventually it's Kavanasakli. You just quoted a halacha that you could break open a casket, but it also says you have to have Kavana not to make it into a kli, meaning that you're destroying the kli when you're making a Pesach Yofer. Like, you know, that's why they say you shouldn't open a can with a can opener, because if you're going to do that, you're going to make a nice round rim and have a nice kli at the end. The contrast is kavan lasai sabula. You're mikva kavit make a bula. That's the whole point of it. So kavishim is kavan lasai kli. So it's like making a kli. You know, Taisus over there in Ksubas, famous Taisus, and Mar says, "Boyel bilas mitzvah on Shabbos." Taisus says, "Why is it called bilas mitzvah? L'chayra, a woman never becomes pregnant from the beer yishayna." So why is it called Bilas Mitzvah? Remember what Taisa says over there in Tzubis? Boil Bilas Mitzvah Upairish. I don't think it means every Bia is Mitzvah. It says, I think only the Bia Rishayna is considered Bias Mitzvah. I don't think the Gemara calls every other Bia Bias Mitzvah. So anyway, Taisus says, because Ein Isha Koreses Bris Elamisha Osa Osa Kli. So there's a certain relationship that gets created from the Bia Rishayna, which is special. So that's why it's called Bias Mitzvah. That's Taisus' attempt. He says other words from over here. Okay. Opening up a boil on Shabbos, right? So if you can open a boil, why can't you learn from that it's mutter to what? To do Bir Rishayna. Again, use the source when it says over there to answer your question. Over there it says, you have to be careful that when you're opening the boil, that you're not trying to make an opening from which the pus can ooze out of the boil going forward, lancing the boil in a way in which you're creating an opening for the in that way, that would be usur, the kanvach mechivin. So it's exactly the same thing. Okay. So basically it says that, so what all we're trying to say here is why we have to be dying from the Mishnah as opposed from these other halachas. So what we're coming out here is those other halachas were not going to be proof because either you're machaven lasis kli or you're machaven for the mappas morsa. But it's mutter. It's mutter. Mm-hmm. Why is it mutter? It could be because it's considered dav shem miskaven. It's an unintended act. On the bottom of 6, he talks about this, that the reason why it's mutter is because dav shem miskaven. I sub sik resha, it's sub sik resha lenifale. Or it's not a secretia because it's shy. It could be the local mitzvah, the aura holds it does. And also because Shmuel said he could be note mate and he could be vile heart and not make her break the psalm. So it's not necessarily a secretia. There's all kinds of Torah over here. If I'm sure you'll find it. Do you want to go on a little further or you want to stop here? Yeah, tomorrow night's plot is called Chafes. So you want to stop? Okay. Advice, I'm going to stop here.